I have a scripture that I've chosen to read tonight from the book of Joel. It's found in the third chapter, verses 14 through 16. And as I sat listening to this beautiful special tonight, my heart was touched very deeply. I could have sat much longer and listened to this beautiful hymn. And I thought upon this and the responsibility, because He lives, we can face tomorrow. We also sung in our opening hymn concerning responsibility. And I would that we might think upon our responsibility this night. I would like to read now from the 14th verse of the third chapter of Joel. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter His voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of His people and the strength of the children of Israel. Now I wish to enlarge upon this particular reading this night. To start with, I would be more concerned about the first verse. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And when we project this into the time of which we live, and I believe the day of the Lord is drawing closer, I believe we're living in the time that the Apostle Paul spoke of as the last days. This know in the last days, perilous times shall come. He elaborated upon many of the perils of the day in which I believe we've entered a part of that day. And so I believe when Joel spoke about the day of the Lord and the decision, I believe he pointed a part of it to the very day you and I live within. Constantly there are decisions you and I must make. Constantly there are decisions the people of this earth must make. And it behooves us each to make wise decisions. It behooves us each to make decisions that would help us in our walk of life. We must learn to place our priorities in the proper place and position. We live in a time that is trying, and yet, according to the Scripture, these trials will increase. Jesus Christ said it would be a day of great tribulation. And as you heard voice last night, the speaker said he believed we'd entered the fore part of that day of tribulation. I too agree with that statement. Many things are beginning to unfold. Many yet are to unfold. So it is important that you and I begin to make a great and a mighty preparation for this day. We need to make some very important decisions in our life, for we live in a time of trial, stress, discouragement, and things of this nature. Really, many of these things have been around since the beginning of the world, but yet Daniel of old said it would be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. And I believe Daniel accurately foresaw the day that is unfolding before us. A time of trouble, a time when men's hearts would fail them for fear for looking after the things that are coming upon the face of the earth. And yet, if we trust in Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father, for it says here, the Lord will be the hope of His people. If we put our priorities in the proper place and position, we will need not fear the day in which we live. We might even count it a joy. Who knows? Even the prophets of old, many of them looked forward to this day. And they would have been happy to have been here today, but they have all gone before us. But for some reason, you and I are here in this particular dispensation of time. And as I've said before, I don't believe it is a particular accident that we're here, any more so than each one of us are in this room this night. So I hope and pray this night that I might install in the heart of each and every person here a greater commitment unto Jesus Christ and God, that we might be able to prepare our lives for the day ahead. Yes, there's much to be done. And I would like to read of a few things here. One I've chosen that I have read on occasion. It happened at a Colorado reunion, August 7th, 1964. Apostle Barton spoke in tongues, and Apostle Jordan interpreted that tongue. I wish to read it tonight. To many of you it will be new, to some it will not be new, but I believe it's pertinent to our day. I believe it was pertinent to that day as we sat in that Colorado reunion. Open your eyes that you may see. First, I want to read this statement. My first impression is that we have been given a word of warning. So I might desire this night to impress upon you this word of warning. Open your eyes that you may see. Unstop your ears that you may hear. For thus saith the Spirit, I have already begun to bring to pass a fulfillment of prophecy already given, showing forth my power in the disasters that are coming upon the peoples of the earth. They shall come from the heavens above and the earth beneath. The elements will be loosed, even all the elements that I have created. Come ye out of Babylon, that ye be not a partaker of her plagues. I believe that was wise counsel when that was given. And as I sat this morning thinking of some things I might bring out, or last night, I forgot exactly when I chose to use this particular reading, it seems like it came to me. This is a thing that I should bring to your attention tonight. Yes, indeed, the elements, even all the elements that God has created, will be loosed. Man's fear today is all too often tied to nuclear fission, the hydrogen bomb and such as that. And we know that that is a fearful thing. Without a question of a doubt, that is a fearful thing. The destruction connected with it is terrible. That is part of the reason for men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after the things that are coming upon the earth. But let me tell you, all of those combined cannot compare with the power of the God that we believe in if He chooses to loose His elements. And if you would but note different things that have happened in just the last few years. We are living in a time wherein the weather has become extremely upset. Wherein new records are constantly being set. Last night I heard a newscast. In the last 8 days in the Sierra Nevadas of California, 20 feet of snow has fallen. Now that's a lot of snow in the dead of winter. Probably more than maybe they ever have received. But this is spring. And yet 20 feet of snow had fallen there. We never know what may take place next. Luke, in a statement of Christ's prophecy, said that there would be great earthquakes in a certain day. Yes, some of the things that will precede the coming of the Son of Man, even Jesus Christ. These things will take place. They will be real. But those who make the necessary preparation need not fear. For this gospel of Jesus Christ is not a thing of fear, but of hope. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. As the Apostle Paul of old said, if in this life only we had hope in Jesus Christ, we would of all men be most miserable. But that hope isn't just today. He went on to explain, because he lived, we can be and have joyous experiences. There is a promise of living with him in eternity. So today, you and I must make that decision and that commitment to serve God and Christ. There's much to be done. This gospel must be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. And to a little handful of people, that looks like a formidable task. But as we so ably heard last evening, with a few, the Lord has accomplished some great and marvelous things. And so the labors will be few. But take courage. If you serve God and Christ, you can accomplish the task. We must pray, push out in faith, believing. For we have a great God. The last part of this particular interpretation to a tongue had this advice: come ye out of Babylon, that ye be not a partaker of her plagues. I would like to turn to the book of Revelation. This is found in the 17th chapter. And perhaps I'll only read one verse, maybe the fifth verse. And I'll make a little comment. For John of old saw this remarkable vision. It was unfolded unto him. For he saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast. But this is what I want to read, verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. What did I read here? Come ye out of Babylon, and be not a partaker of her plagues. Now there's much could be said and spoken on this 17th chapter of Revelations, but it's not my desire tonight to go into detail on that. Time would not suffice that I do that. But I do wish to read in the 18th chapter and read verses 1 through 4. And after these things, he saw a lot of things connected. This mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, which Lehi and Nephi in the vision saw as the great and abominable church. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, because there will come a time when that great church will fall. And after that fall, it says, and after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened and with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. Is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, now listen to this closely, imprinted in your memory bank. Come ye out of her, my people, that ye be not a partaker of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. That particular interpretation of a tongue said, come out of Babylon, things connected with sin. And of course, in this instance, it's connected with that great an abominable church, that ye be not a partaker of her plagues. So we got a lot of important decisions to make today. There will come a time when you will have to face the responsibility of choosing whether you wish to receive a mark in your right hand or in your forehead or both, even what is called the mark of the beast, or it's said you can neither buy nor sell. There will come a time when you have that decision. But yet again, we have a great God, a marvelous God who has accomplished great and marvelous things. So we can take courage by existing scriptures, by the wonderful written word that we have. And as Jesus Christ said, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So I counsel you this evening to search these beautiful scriptures, for they will give you hope in the days ahead, and you will need that hope. And so when the time comes, when we're called upon to make important decisions, decisions even to commit our lives more fully, to commit this great work that is before us, we can take courage and strength. And as I thought upon this one that will shortly unfold relating to the mark of the beast, it is the number of a man, yes, 666. And many will choose to receive that mark rather than to take the alternative. And yet God, as I said, is a great God. We needn't fear because of what is said there. Because as a psalmist of old wrote, "I have been young and now I am old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread." Now I've quoted that scripture many times. I believe it. It gives me hope and courage and strength. Yes, we have a great God. I recall another passage of scripture in the book of Daniel concerning Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego, wherein a great image was made and wherein the king commanded that all the peoples must bow down and worship him in that image and worship that image. And at the sound of certain types of music and a lot of other type things they mentioned there, they were to bow down and worship that image. But three chose not to do this. And when some saw them not worshiping this image, they told the king. And he was furious. His whole visage changed. And so he had them brought before him. And he says, "Now at the sound of the sackbut and the all kinds of music and harp and different things that he listed there, and I don't call them all, he says, if you bow down and worship me or worship this image, it will be well with thee. Otherwise, the same hour you'll be cast into the fiery burning furnace." And so what was the answer of these three, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego? They truly had made their decision early. They had placed their priorities in the proper place. Says, "Well, king, if it so be that our God will deliver us, let it be. But if he don't, let it be." He says, "I see four down there, and the fourth is like the Son of Man or the Lord." So he says, he came near the furnace. And he says, "Come forth." And they came forth out of that furnace, and you know they didn't even have the smell of fire on their clothes. Now I cite this tonight to hold out courage to each one of you in this day of decision that we live in. A little further story along this line. I had an aunt that used to live in this area of the reorganized church, and she loved to attend this church. She has since passed on. But she had an experience with this particular happening of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. She says she literally saw in vision that fiery furnace and these three walking down in the furnace, and I believe even the fourth. She saw this vision. It gave her such strength and such courage that she felt that she could face any obstacle that took place. After that experience one evening, this dear old lady was going home from church, and as she walked, a person jumped out from behind a tree, bent on assaulting this dear old lady. She looked him square in the eyes. He ran away screaming. He could not stand the power of God that he saw in that dear lady. I believe that was a real experience. And I believe she is preserved by the hand of God that night. She may have lost her life and no telling what else. We're well aware of what is happening in the day in which we live and the things that are happening to women and others on the face of our streets, on the face of our land. And yet, we have a scripture that says, perfect love casteth out all fear. I'll touch upon some of that a bit later. So, as I mentioned earlier, it is important that we place our priorities in the proper place. And I would like to turn to the book of John in the 12th chapter. This is found in verses 46 through 48. I mentioned somewhat about the importance of the words of Jesus Christ and God. Now think upon these words. Jesus Christ said, I have come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Yes, he came a light into the world, that if we believe in him, we should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, note this closely, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. That was the mission of Jesus Christ. But if we stopped there, we wouldn't give the whole complete picture. Verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have written, the same shall judge him in the last day. So each one of us will give account of herself or himself at the last day and will be judged according to these words which are written. So let them sink deeply into your hearts. Commit your lives fully to God and Christ. It is a beautiful, joyous experience, as some scriptures I will shortly bring out. I would like to turn to the book of Alma on page 424. In speaking a little more about this word, actually 164 is probably where I'll start. But earlier in this particular reading, it says, now we will compare the word unto a seed. And we're all well aware of how seeds grow. That's something that is according to our understanding. You know, there's another writer in the Book of Mormon that says, men speak... let me read it before I start that. It's found in 2 Nephi 13, as soon as I find it. Wherefore the things which I have written sufficeth me, verses 3 and 4, save it be a few words which I must speak concerning the doctrine of Christ, wherefore I shall speak unto you plainly according to the plainness of my prophesying. For my soul delighteth in plainness. For after this manner doth the Lord God work among the children of men. And this verse is the one I want you to note. For the Lord God giveth light unto the understanding, for he speaketh unto men according to their language and their understanding. So if it's hard and difficult, we're making it that way. And of course, I know some of the prophecies require some special effort. But the way of life can be plain to the understanding of man. And so he uses many times things we understand, like the seed, as it grows into various type plants or trees. And we know if we take care of it, how it grows up into a tree or a plant that can give us fruit and things that are desirable. So let's start here in verse 164. And behold, as a tree beginneth to grow, ye will say, let us nourish it with care, that it may get root, that it may grow up and bring forth fruit unto us. And now behold, if ye nourish it with much care, that's a decision you've got to make. Now here he's comparing this tree and this seed unto the Word and how it influences and functions in your life. So nourish it with much care, and it will get root and grow up and bring forth fruit. That's the way a fruit tree or that functions. I know I've been connected with that type of agriculture in my life. But if you neglect the tree, and I know what happens when you do that too, I've seen it, firsthand witness, and take no thought for its nourishment, behold, it will not get any root. And when the heat of the sun cometh and scorcheth it, because it hath no root, it withers away, and ye pluck it up and cast it out. I want you to notice a significant verse. Now, this is not because the seed was not good. No. You can do that to a seed you plant in the soil. If you don't take care of it, it can die. Even if you have a fruit tree, if you don't take care of it, it can die. Or other type plants. Neither is it because the fruit thereof would not be desirable. No, that is not the reason. But it is because your ground is barren. And that's coming right back to the Word of Jesus Christ in our life. If we will not nourish it, it will not grow and accomplish its end. It is because your ground is barren and you will not nourish the tree, therefore you cannot have the fruit thereof. You can't have that fruit of the tree you plant, and neither can you have the fruit of the tree that is referenced to the Word of God in your life. And thus it is, if ye will not nourish the Word. It is vital we nourish the Word of God in our lives, looking forward with an eye of faith to the fruit thereof, ye can never pluck from the fruit of the tree of life. Now, I really believe, to me, that's plain to my understanding. And I believe it should be plain to the understanding of each and every one here. But let's read further. But if you will nourish the Word, yea, nourish the tree as it beginneth to grow by your faith, you must exercise your faith with great diligence. You must do that. That's one of the decisions in the valley of decision in this day of the Lord. With patience. Sometimes we're inclined to get impatient. We may work upon a habit for years, and because we can't rid ourselves of it instantaneously, we become impatient. Keep trying. We can succeed with the help of the Lord. Looking forward to the fruit thereof, it shall take root, and behold, it shall be a tree springing up into everlasting life. And because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the Word and nourishing it, that it may take root in you, behold, by and by you shall pluck of the fruit thereof, which is most precious, which is sweet above all that is sweet, which is white above all that is white, and pure above all that is pure. And ye shall feast upon this fruit, even until ye are filled, that ye hunger not, neither shall ye thirst. Then, my brethren, ye shall reap the rewards of your faith, and your diligence, and patience, and long-suffering, waiting for the tree to bring forth fruit unto you. What a beautiful, wonderful statement that is this night. I like this being tied to the vision that Lehi and Nephi had. And I want to just briefly reference that vision. Just certain parts. For a long going to this tree of life was a straight and narrow path with a rod of iron that went along there that separated it from the depths of hell. This rod of iron is a representation of the Word of God, which if we cling to the Word of God, it will take us forward to this tree of life, which is a representation of the love of God. And as Lehi partook of the fruit of that tree, he found that it was a happy, joyous experience. And later, the writers here knew that that would be a beautiful experience in life. I would like to turn over to the parable of the sower, 13th chapter of Matthew. And I would like to enlarge upon portions of this particular parable. On occasion, I find my mind directed to this parable. And some of you have heard me speak on it in times past, but perhaps not quite like what I've chosen tonight. And it seems like recently, as I traveled in my missionary travels, that on occasion my mind was directed to this particular parable and how completely it, or how, I should word it maybe differently, but anyway, it does apply to our day in which we live. It applies to many peoples as many scriptures, but this certainly applies today in our valley of decision. We find that this sower went forth to sow, and this seed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured the seed. This seed was not able to accomplish its end. It didn't mean it was not good seed. Some fell among the stony places or the rocks. And because there was not much soil there, we find that shortly it sprouted and grew up. But because it had not much soil, it never was able to produce much roots. So when the sun hit it, it withered and died. And then it was some had sown where the thorns was also among it. And the thorns sprouted and choked out the seed. Now in all these instances, I want you to note that it was all good seed. And the last was sown on good soil, some which yield 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now really, the parts I want to be most concerned about tonight is that which was sown upon the stony soil and that which was sown among the thorns. And so, I would like to start reading from the 20th verse of the 13th chapter of Matthew. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, as somebody that heard the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. They received that word. They evidently even cherished it, at least for a time. Yet hath it he no root in himself, but doeth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now what did that say? Because when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, there may be a time when we have to make that decision. Because we believe in the words of Christ, we may suffer persecution. But it's an important decision to make. Some will make the improper decision and become offended. Some in time of tribulation will not be able to endure, but will become offended. But I really like the other two Gospels on that too. In Mark 4:17, and I won't turn to that, he mentions in time of affliction or persecution. He adds the word affliction. So there are afflictions in this life which might cause some to become offended because of the word. In Luke, it mentioned in time of temptation, some would fall away. What a sad thing. There are temptations ever about us. You heard some voice last evening. We've got decisions to make on what we're going to follow or pursue in this life. There's temptations that's going to be placed before everyone, from the youngest to the oldest. But I hope and pray, because of the temptations, that we might have the fortitude and the hope in the Scripture that will help us to endure and not become offended and fall away in time of temptation. Those that receive the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Yes, how true that is, the care of this world. And as Christ put it in the book of Luke, in the 21st chapter, the cares of this life, he worded it a little differently. But I would like to tie these two together at this time in verses 34 and 35. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. That means too much. With surfeiting. What's that word? That's excesses. That's overabundant supply. We're told to be a temperate people. So we must be careful that our hearts be not overcharged with these excesses, with drunkenness, with the cares of this life. So that day, what day? The second coming of the Son of Man come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. And so the cares of this life, or the cares of this world, takes its toll among the children of men upon the face of this whole earth. It takes its toll in the Church of Christ. All too often there are so many cares of this life, it seems like we do not have time to do the important things well. The important things is our preparing to meet Jesus Christ and God, of working out our salvation before Him. The important things is reaching out unto the souls of men that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, to reach out unto all the souls of mankind, for the souls of man is precious to God. So we got important things and decisions to make. The cares of this life is taking its toll. It's affecting each person to a more or less degree. So we must look deeply and see what we each must do. I have a little more to say on that in just a moment. In the book of Mark, he lists that the lusts of other things entering in, beside the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this life, causes the word to become unfruitful, or causes it not to function as it should. And in the book of Luke, it lists another. Each one listed the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. But Luke mentioned the pleasures of this life can cause those to bring no fruit unto perfection. So even the pleasurable things can take its toll among the children of men. We know that God intended for man to have joys. For Adam fell, that men might be, And men are that they might have joy. But yet, in all this, we still got a certain responsibility, a great responsibility. The Apostle Paul spoke of some of the perils of the last days, wherein men would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And brothers and sisters, that is being unfolded before your very eyes. And it's on the increase. A great nation of old fell because of this. The Roman Empire fell because of their love of pleasure and allowing lust to enter in. They fell. This great nation, the United States, is allowing the same things to enter in. So how carefully this nation must tread. They must take a reevaluation of their lives. Sometimes we get wrought up with what is happening in our government and the decisions are made by those we place there to make our decisions. But as I've had cause to say, it isn't what party in power that is important. That isn't what's going to settle the problems of this world. When this nation turns back to the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, that will solve their problems. And not until then will they be solved. Just plain and simple as it can be. That's important. I would like to turn to the book of Romans and show a little more of our responsibility. Yes, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, are affecting man. And we are not above being affected by the same things. The first two verses, and listen to this, and I hope you write them upon the tables of your heart this night. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Did you hear that? That is each one of your reasonable service tonight, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And be not conformed to this world. Now that's one of the big problems today, is being one of the crowd. But what did this wise old apostle of old said? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There is your responsibility this night to prove these very things. Be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to the arm of flesh and the carnal man. There is no strength in that. And those of old who walked with God knew that early in life. They didn't know it early in life, they learned it. But there is strength and courage with God in Christ. In 3 Nephi, 5th chapter, 53rd verse, and blessed are all those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. There is a promise to those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. That is a vital, important decision. Nephi of old said in 2 Nephi, the 14th chapter and 6th verse, if you will enter by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will shew unto you all things what ye should do. Yes, the way outlined. Enter in by the way, which is what? Repentance and baptism, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And after you've done that, you're on a straight and narrow path, and because you just went that far, is all done? The writer says no or nay. For you've not come this far, saved it was by your faith on Jesus Christ, with an unshaken faith on His words. And on down in that reading it says, feast upon the words of Christ, for the words of Christ will tell you all things what you must do. You must do this. You must not take this lightly. It is vital to each one of you. Another one, in 1 Nephi, the 3rd chapter, in verse 187, tells us this, and blessed are all they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. At what day were they talking about? In the day of the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. And those who will seek to bring forth His Zion at that day shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. Now really, we cannot underestimate the importance of the Holy Ghost being functioning in our individual lives. It is very important. For it, or the Holy Ghost, will show you all things what ye should do. Yes, on further down in that same reading, it mentioned about the importance of prayer. You shall not accomplish anything unto the Lord, save ye first shall pray unto the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, that He will consecrate your performance for your soul well-being. So I hope we might heed some of these wonderful counsels of old, that we might apply them more fully to our lives. I would like to read a revelation or two, or portions of it, from the Book of Commandments. Tying back to this, of those who will seek to bring forth His Zion at that day shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. And I want to tie that into the Zion part of it. This is the 10th chapter and the 3rd verse. And now as you have asked, behold, I say unto you, keep my commandments, and seek to bring forth and establish the cause of Zion. Seek not for riches, but for wisdom. And behold, the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto you, and then ye shall be rich. Behold, he that hath eternal life is rich. And yet in the parable of the sower I brought out that the deceitfulness of riches shall cause some to become unfruitful or to fall by the wayside. So seek not for riches, but for wisdom, and then the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto you. A little more about this cause of Zion in the 11th chapter in verses 3 and 4. Now as you have asked, behold, I say unto you, keep my commandments, and seek to bring forth and establish the cause of Zion. Behold, I speak unto you, and also to all those who have desires, to bring forth and establish this work. And no one, what did that say? No one can assist in this work, except he shall be humble and full of love, having faith, hope, and charity, being tempered in all things, whatsoever shall be entrusted to his care. Now I believe that's plain to our understanding too. No one can even assist in this work, except they shall be humble. We've had that stressed in our time of solemn assembly, our sacrament services, and the previous preaching service. Being full of love, that is vital. Charity mentioned here. And I like the advice of Mormon to his son Moroni of old, talking about charity, that it is the pure love of Christ, and whosoever is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. And then he went on to say, pray with all the energy of your heart that you might be filled with this love, which was bestowed upon all who are the true followers of Jesus Christ and the followers of His Word. He is willing this night to bestow that love upon you, brothers and sisters, if you're true followers of Him and His Word. And you're to pray a commandment of old with all the energy of your heart that you might be filled with that love.
It is vital in the time we live.
We must not take it lightly.
I'd like to turn back just for a moment and reread what I read in the book of Joel. Third chapter, verse 14, and down through 16 or 17. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, a promise of the Lord doing certain things, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall be no strangers pass through any more. Some beautiful statements yet ahead. But take courage, they will transpire even as prophesied. I would like to turn to page 103 in the Book of Mormon, verses 90 through 95. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy and holiness shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy. Sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I am he. Yea, I am he that comforteth you. Behold, who art thou that shouldest be afraid of a man who shall die, and of the Son of Man who shall be made like unto grass? Yes, the people feared the Lord as much as they feared man. It'd be a different circumstance. But man is very fearful of man all too often.
But he says, who art thou that art afraid of a man that shall die? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth, and hath feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And yet we have voiced in the days that have preceded that the power of God is greater than the power of that evil one. And we're to pray against the power of the devil. We're to pray against the power of our enemies. Yes, we should not fear because of these things that are taking place. As I already brought out concerning the love and the vitalness of that in our lives, perfect love casteth off all fear. So really, we can take courage and be encouraged and go forth from this conference with a desire to accomplish his purposes, because he has elaborated the way in perfect plainness for each one of us. I would like to read a little related statement from 2 Corinthians. The 10th chapter and verses 3 through 5. To me, again, some encouraging remarks. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And never forget that. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. If we're going to stand, the weapons of our warfare must not be carnal. We're not warring after the flesh,
we warn against the powers and forces of evil, the rulers of darkness. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So there is the important thing, that our every thought be brought into captivity of the obedience of Christ. And our weapons are not carnal. If we rely upon God and Christ, we are more than equal to the evil man. I would like to read another passage from 2 Nephi, the 6th chapter, verses 73, and maybe down to about 85, but I won't touch upon all of it. Oh, my beloved brethren, remember the awfulness of transgressing against the Holy God, and also the awfulness of yielding to the enticing of that cunning one. Remember, to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life eternal. Oh, my beloved brethren, give ear to my words. Remember the greatness of the Holy One of Israel. And it is He we must serve. We must serve that God of the land who is Jesus Christ. Do not say that I have spoken hard things against you, for if you do, you will revile against the truth, for I have spoken the words of your nature. And know the words of truth are hard against all uncleanness, but the righteous fear them not, for they love the truth and are not shaken. Plain and simple. O then, my beloved brethren, come unto the Lord, the Holy One. Remember His powers are righteousness. Behold, the way for man is narrow, but it lieth in a straight course before Him. All you got to do is grasp the rod of iron, which is the word of God, and press forward and onward in effort. And the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel, and He employeth no servant there. And there is none other way, save it be by the gate, for He cannot be deceived, for the Lord God is His name. And whoso knocketh will He open. For there we have, as Jesus Christ said in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come unto him, and sup with him, and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. Yes, be tied together. I hope you don't tire some of these scriptures and you're using repetition. But there is a place for each scripture at a given time. But they, in this thing here, who are puffed up because of their learning, their wisdom, their riches, they are those whom the Lord despises. And in verse 84, and so they shall cast these things away. They trust in riches, and they're puffed up in these things, and consider themselves fools before God, and come down in the depth of humility. He will not open unto them. But the things of the wise and the prudent shall be hid from them. Yea, that happiness which is prepared for the saints, that likewise should be hid from them. And oh, to God, that none of you might never have that happiness that is prepared for the saints, hid from any one of you. But let us pay attention to some of these parables of old. Let us pay attention to our individual responsibility before God. I would like to turn to the book of John and just give a few closing statements. The 14th chapter, first three verses. let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, move out there and move. These are the words of Jesus Christ. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself. That where I am, there you may be also. What a beautiful statement. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. And I hope tonight I might be able to leave a part of that peace, but also responsibility with it. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's a beautiful, encouraging statement. The statement is, yes, we live in a time of trial. We live in a time that will be distressing. We live in a time in the scriptures that said there would be distress among nations. Fearing that will happen. And that is happening today. It is unfolding for our very eyes. So the time has come. We must not wait to make the important decision to commit our lives fully and wholly unto God and Christ, which is a portion of our reasonable service, even a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto them. And I hope we may do it. And as a result of our doing this, I hope that peace may come into your heart. Even that peace of God that passeth all understanding, that shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.